We will turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We'll go back to what we were referring to last week. And don't forget, in 1 Samuel 7, how God made a way for the children of Israel. They were forsaken the Lord for a number of years. The Ark of the Covenant had gotten away. And when the Ark of the Covenant got away, they certainly got away from the things of God, but they turned to Samuel and began to, you know, just ask him to seek the Lord. And he told him, say, look, if y'all just repent and turn your hearts back towards the Lord, then God will do great things in your midst. And God did something for them mighty. He fought the Philistines, and everything that the Philistines took, all the cities that they took, the Philistines began to restore that back to the children of Israel after they had repented. But now we find something here in 1 Samuel 8, after God did something so great for them, now we find them rejecting the Lord. This is a perfect type to us today. And, you know, without knowing it sometimes, without realizing it, we repeat Scripture in our lives. And that's I'm talking Christianity as a whole. We repeat Scripture, not recognizing what we're doing there. So we want to be very careful in these areas. So let's start. Let's look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 8, we'll just read it. Then I have a few quotes that I'll share with you tonight. It says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways. Now that's I kind of find that a little striking here, a little because Samuel's going through the same thing that Eli went through. You know, Eli's boys also did not walk according to his ways. Eli's sons were more concerned about the offering of the Lord, you know, in the house of God. They were more concerned about the offering rather than the actual work of the Lord. And, you know, Eli didn't do anything to really correct them, and God judged the house of Eli because he failed to correct his sons. But now we're seeing Samuel's actually run into the exact same problem that Eli ran into. His boys didn't walk in the same way that he walked. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside. And we'll see why they turned aside. It was after lucre, which is money. They were more concerned about money as well, and took bribes, right? And perverted judgment. And typically, money will pervert judgment. That's in our highest courts of the land. In the church, right? No matter where you go, money can pervert judgment. All right, you know, even on the police force, money can pervert judgment, right? So it all really depends on who has money. There are lawyers that, you can go to them and you know you got a good case, but they will actually turn your case down because they're getting money from somebody else to say no to you, right? I mean, it perverts judgment. It's a very corrupt and wicked system. You know, we got to put our trust in God, right? But so here we see Samuel's boys are falling in the same traps as some of the others. It says they walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Big problem here, you know. The biggest problem is that they're taking this in their own hands. The same way God saw that Eli's boys were not serving the way that they should, God raised up Samuel in the house of Eli. And whatever God had to do to raise up a next prophet, a next leader, he would have done that. Even though Samuel was old, he would have done that. And not only that, there was a I don't know if I'll read that tonight. I might have read it last week. But Brother Branham saying Samuel lived so many years after this, right? So, he might be old, but God wasn't finished with him yet, right? But here they are, they're taking matters in their own hands as the way that how they want to handle this. It says, behold, thou art old, my sons walk not in our ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And I was telling you last week, you know, when they rejected Samuel, he took it personal. I mean, it caused him to go in prayer and just really seek the Lord. And I read last week how Brother Branham was even saying that, you know, every minister, they would take it personal like that. Every one of them, you know, and you just, when you feel like, Lord, I'm doing the best I can, I'm presenting the word of God to the people, and they just turn and they just kind of walk away from it. Every minister takes that personal, but God had to remind them, look, it's not about you, it's not about your word, it's my word that's being rejected, it's my ways that's being rejected. All I did was ask you just to kind of tell them, but you know, that you've done your part, now you just get out of the way, right? So here God is kind of telling him, verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say to thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest. And I mean, you know, go ahead and let them, they're going to do what they want to do, but I want you to protest, cry out against it. See, and I'll just be honest with you. You can do that in church. A minister can cry out against certain things, but knowing the people still going to do what they want to do. But you know what? You still got to come out and say it. Still got, you know, because there are some people that actually will hear it and actually adhere to it or take heed to it. You know, others, no matter what you say, and this is why, you know, I was that message that I preached a few Friday nights ago, crossing the line, don't ever, you know, you have to be very, very careful. Don't ever get to the spot where you just can't receive God's word or you can't receive conviction, right? I mean, when the Spirit of the Lord stops convicting you, you got a problem on your hands. When you can't be convicted by the Word of God, something is wrong somewhere, right? I mean, when somebody preaching, man, I know I ain't measuring up right there. Let me get that area right in my life. You know, I thank God that I can feel that, right? Because there's some people, they just can't feel it, and they'll just go right on. Here they cross the line and don't even realize that they crossed it. Amen. So God help us here, you know. It says, therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he would take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. Now that's you know, you really think about that. The tenth is a tithe. All right. Now they already have to pay God a tithe, right? But now because they got a king, and now it didn't say nothing about paying the king, but the king is going to take it from them, right? So here they lose, you know, it's 20% now. You know, because they want a king. If they just left God as the king, they only had to pay God his 10%, and that was it. But now it's 20%, because the king is going to take his 10 from them. Verse 15 again, he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And they would take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work, and he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. Now, you know, after they realize all that the man has taken from them, then they want to cry out and, you know, beg God. And, you know, this is kind of typical of human beings even today. We get ourselves in some jams. We get ourselves in some situations. And when we get ourselves in jam, then we want to call out to God, right? You know, I remember my pastor said, God will mock you one day. You'll be out there yelling, Lord, help me. And you'll hear, Lord, help me. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. You don't want to do that, see? Just stay with his word, right? Just stay with his word. Look at this. It says, ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, but we will have a king over us. So no matter what you say, Samuel, and we know God has spoken to you time and time again, but we don't care, we will have a king over us. We will have a man rule over us. This is what they're saying, all right? Now, we're gonna get into this a little bit tonight, just with a few quotes, but I trust that it'll be a help to you, because this scripture is being repeated right now. The church world has caused this to come to pass all over again, all right? Look, it says, that we also may be like, verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Oh, my God. I was telling you last week how I know churches just here in this area, they used to have a true standard of holiness. True standard of holiness. But because they desired to be like the other churches, they saw other churches that were growing. Maybe there was a concern about how some of the other churches, some of the people left their church and went to the other churches. They lost members. And because they lost those members, they began to do all kind of things in order to not allow the other ones to leave or to bring the other ones back, right? They let down the standards on the word of God. No more holiness. Don't even preach it anymore. You know, I was told, you know, that the pastor of the church, he listens to our church broadcast every week. I'm like, well, thank God for that. But, I mean, the pastor, I listen to so-and-so every week. I hear him on the radio every week. So, you know, well, praise God. If we can, you know, just preach the word, maybe somebody repent and go back the other way. You know, if we didn't have nothing else, we had holiness, right? We at least had holiness. Don't lose that, right? But in order to get more members in the church, we let down the standards of that. We said, don't take that no more. Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I know where God put it in the Bible, but I didn't see where he took it out the Bible. Right? Amen. Scripture say, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Amen. So go on here. Verse 21 says this. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. He was doing his best to try to withhold this. And if you go back verse 10 there, and it says, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. It wasn't like he went out just really trying to be in a hurry about getting this king for them. You know, he waited till they just kind of got to a point where, you know, he just couldn't do no more about it. But everybody that would ask him, you can imagine, Samuel, what about us getting a king? You prayed about that yet? You come out and tell him, well, the Lord said this, the Lord said that. And maybe one person said, well, we don't care what the Lord say, we still want a king. And words start getting around town. Well, you know, Samuel, what do you think? You know, you prayed about it? I prayed about it, but he's going to take this, and he's going to take that, and he's going to do this. Well, Samuel, that's okay. We still want a king. And all those people start talking about them wanting a king. They put pressure on Samuel until he could do nothing else but hearken unto their voice as God told him. Trust me, if that's the way they did Samuel, can almost assure you that's what happens in churches, right? You get one starting over here. Well, what you think about this? You know, maybe we should, you know, I mean, I was talking to, you know, so-and-so, and they told me the reason why they left was because of this. All right, they're working that leader. There's another one coming. Well, you know that other family that just left? They said this. And they just, well, what you think about it? What you know? And they was using this scripture, and maybe we ought to reconsider that, you know. And as they start working that leader, finally just give up. Say, okay, I have nothing I can do about this. And they give in. But I tell you what, there are some leaders that say they'll just, like Brother Random said, I have to just drink branch water, right? Eat soda crackers and drink branch water, then compromise on that word, right? I mean, and even in Brother Random's day, he was telling some of the ministers, you know, and they were like, hey, brother, if I preach that, I mean, I wouldn't have no pulpit to preach in. Say, well, you know, I just take my chance to not have a pulpit to preach in, knowing that I told people the truth, right? See, but even today, people are doing it for a meal ticket. People, yeah, church is big business, y'all. Church is big business, right? I mean, it's one of the quickest ways to get money from people. Right, it's a quick way. If y'all ain't never, I know we've never done it here, and we'll never do it. If it ever happened, we probably, all of us, I don't know what we'll do if we saw it happen. But you go to some churches, there's 4 or 5 offerings in one service, right? And like I told y'all recently, we were at a church and they was holding us hostage over $15. $15, we were held hostage. I locked the doors, nobody leaving. I mean, I'm serious. You looking at me, I'm looking at you. I need $15. What is this? You can't make people give like that, right? These things are become, it's prevalent in the church nowadays, and it's a shame that people have to go through these type of things. And to be honest with you, that's why a lot of people either don't go to church or they go to church very late. Right, they get there after the offering has taken place. That's what most people do nowadays. So, church, we got a lot of spirits to fight nowadays. But I just have to stand the way the prophet stood. Just drink branch water and eat soda crackers. And I don't even know what branch water is, but whatever it is, that's what we'll drink because we got to stay with this truth. All right, let's go on. I want to read from a couple of quotes. This first one from the Smyrnian Church Age. Just kind of take this. And I read to you last week, not only was Samuel rejected, but we can follow through Scripture how even when Jesus came along, he was rejected. And we'll even find out tonight that, you know, just pretty much every servant of God gets rejected. Brother Branham was rejected, right? I mean, you're going to find, and I can almost assure you, if I stay with this truth, I'll be rejected. That's just bottom line. Now, the good thing about... I can almost say this, that I can almost assure you that I won't be alone, because there's some people that's going to stay with it no matter what. Amen. So, and I preached a message on this years ago, rejects. We'll all be a bunch of rejects. But we find God amongst the rejects. See, that's where we find him. He dwells amongst the rejects. People that don't, I mean, they didn't think you'd never be nothing. They didn't think you could. I mean, look at David. He was a reject. Nobody thought that that boy would be a king. But God was amongst the reject. See? Amen. Joseph, a reject. Brother sold him out, right? But God was amongst the reject. So if we're a bunch of rejects, God will be in our midst, and that's all that matters. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? The Smyrnian Church Age, let's read this. The prophet says, now so they come to this Samuel, make us a king. And the Lord told him that he rejected that idea, just exactly what he rejected here with organization. Just like he rejected that, he rejects organization. God rejects organization. He don't reject organism, but organization. Organism, we have to have that, but organization, we don't have to have, because it draws lines. We are so-and-so. Are you a Christian? I'm Methodist. Are you a Christian? I'm Baptist. That don't mean no more than a pig in a pen. That has nothing to do with it, not at all. A Christian, I asked a girl one night on the platform, are you a Christian? She said, why, I give you to understand I burn a candle every night. Like that had anything to do with Christianity. Another man said, well, I'm an American, sure. See? Said, well, that's got nothing to do with it, not a thing. You're a Christian because you belong to another kingdom. That's right, and you're in another kingdom above. Now, what did Samuel do? Just the same thing that God did here. Samuel called Israel together. He said, now listen to me. I want to ask you something. Has there ever been one time that I ever told you anything that wasn't true? He said, now I'm God's prophet among you. Tell me one time I've ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass. That's what Samuel said to them. He said, and hasn't God fed you and taken care of you and done all these things? Say, you're doing sin by trying to act like the other nations. Oh, they said. He said, I want to ask you something else. Have I ever took any money away from you? Have I ever begged you for an offering? Or have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass? They said, no, you never took our money. That's true. And you've never told us anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass. He said, then hear me. You're sinning by trying to act like the rest of them. But they wanted a king anyhow. Regardless of whether it was right or wrong, they wanted to carry out their idea. That's the same thing the church did right here at Ephesus. They taken the Nicolaitan doctrine, and when they did, it pushed them right into convert paganism and Christianity together, and has caused the 1,500 years of dark ages. And when Luther pulled them out, if the second round of Lutherans didn't do the same thing they did back in Ephesus, exactly what Brother Branham was saying, there was a pattern there. Every age, they would come out to the Word, and they come out so far, and they have that Word, they walk in that Word, walk with the messenger that day, and then years later, they begin to go back and start acting like the things that they were brought out of, right? And church, if that's not repeating itself again today, God brought us out with a mighty hand with this message. That the prophet, everything that he said was exactly right. There was, I mean, you know, now people are trying to find little things here and there to say that he was wrong. And I'm going to tell you, most of those people that's finding little things where the prophet was wrong, they're ending up back in denominational churches. The very thing that God brought them out of, how did they end up back? Because they rejected the prophet. The same thing that they did here in the scripture. They rejected the prophet, and they'll end up in bondage. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Let me go on to another quote here. Letting off the pressure. Oh, we got it. We got to catch it. He says this every church age. And every star, every minister through the church age, every angel to the church has made its manifestation. And did you know that this church age was the only church age that Jesus was put out of his church and found knocking at the door, trying to get back in the Laodicean church age? Now, Brother Branham said that is the saddest thing in Scripture when you really get a view of that. Jesus, the one that created the church. Jesus, the one where the church was established because of him, right? That same Jesus is now on the outside of his church, standing at the door knocking. And all them people on the inside hear him knocking, but will not open up the door and let him in. What a sad picture. What a sad picture. I mean, when you get the picture in your mind, you want to be one to open up the door, let Jesus in, or you want to start telling everybody, would y'all please let Jesus in? Well, I'll tell you why they don't want to let Jesus in, because it's going to change the way that they're doing things. People rather do it their way than do it God's way. You know, who's that brother? Brother Paul said it on Friday night. How are you going to disobey all the rules of the house and expect to stay in the house? Right? How does that work? You know, I mean, here we got this rule, this rule, this rule, and you just, every one of them you break. That when you do that, that creates a tension inside the home, right? And if the parents feel like we've lost control, then it pushes us to a place where somebody got to leave. Now, I've seen this happen, or I've heard of it happen. Some parents get to that spot and feel like they can't make their kids leave, so you know what the parents do? They leave. And they don't come back, right? Kids looking for them, and don't look for me now. You push me out, right? And they do not give their address because they don't want that child living with them no more, right? You can have it. Now, when the bank come and kick you out, then you got to leave, right? But that's what parents do. But this is, I mean, we done put Jesus out like this. If certain rules are in the house, you got to obey those rules. If it creates tension here on earth, then imagine, amen, and it won't work here on earth, it certainly will not work in heaven. Look, you can't make up your own rules to get to God's house. You can't do it. You can't, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm still going to heaven. I was saying this a few Sundays ago, and I never finished it, but it comes back to me now. But Brother Branham's mother had a dream, and in this dream she saw this lady, and the lady in the dream, man, she was dressed a certain way, and she had some really, really high heels, really high heels. And so Brother Branham was telling the sister in the dream, say, now you can't make it to heaven like that. You're not going to make it. She said, no, don't tell me. He say, sister, I'm trying to tell you, you can't make it. She said, watch me, you know. So she took her three steps, you know, and Brother Branham said that was justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. And when she got to the third step, she fell off, never to be seen again. And he says, sister, I tried to tell you, you can't make it like that. And what happens in church, right, people are only going to be able to go so far. Now, and I said this also in church. You can come to church anywhere you want to come, but you can't go to heaven like that. Right? You can come to church. Yeah, I mean, people have told you the truth, but you don't want to walk in that. You want to do it your way. You can come to church that way. And the same way that they use that scripture, and I think it's just used wrong, right? Jesus said, come as you are. But he didn't say, stay as you are. You got to go through a transformation, right? You got to be changed. You can come as you are, but please don't stay as you are, right? But people, well, I'm coming as I am. Just do it. Now, you need to be changing, right? Over time, this word should do something for you. And trust me, you ain't going to get to heaven just any kind of way. You got to come the way God's word say come. You might be, and there's many people go to church, they got a really good spirit, good musicians, good singers, and they make you feel so good about being in church. And even the pastor will give you a feel-good message. But you be leaving there feeling, boy. But when we talk about heaven, it's a totally different story. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're interested in getting people to heaven. Not just to church. We thank God for you coming to church, but we want to get you to heaven. And we also realize to get you to heaven, we're gonna have to get you to church too. Amen. All right, let's go on. Amen. But I'm gonna tell you, if I was to let down some of the standards, you know, people not rejecting me, they rejecting this word. They rejecting Christ, right? I mean, and oh no, I just you can't understand this. A baby can understand this, right? You just don't want to understand it. There's people that refuse to accept it because they know what it calls for. Amen. All right. Oh, my. It says, did you know this church age was the only church age that Jesus was put out of his church and found knocking at the door trying to get back in, the Laodicean church age. Don't you see the hour we're living? Wish I could come here for about 2 or 3 weeks just on Bible teaching, a prophecy and things. See where we're living, friends. What's the matter with people? Can't you see we're at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep. That little group together in a month or so, she'll be gone. As soon as she's gathered together, well, we're at the end. There's no hopes left nowhere. Run to Christ, people. It says, through your gifts, I fed my children. Through your goodness, I've had a ministry. Through the people, the Pentecostals that I left, the Baptist church to come to, you've been the ones when they told me I was a fanatic, there was no such a thing as prophecy. There was no such a thing as these angels appearing and things like that. I take you to record tonight. Now look at what the prophet is doing. This is God's prophet in 1962. This scripture is repeating itself in the midst of this congregation. It says, have I ever told you anything out of the tens of thousands but what come to pass? You remember when they come before Samuel and they said, we want a Saul to be a king. And God told Samuel, said, they haven't rejected you as a prophet, they rejected me. Said, go down and stand before them. Said, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what come to pass? Have I ever begged you for a living, for your living? They said, no, these things are all right, but we still want the king. There you are. Look at this now. There you are. It's the same place back again. It's the church. It's the church. It isn't the nation. It's the people. Look at our television. Look at our newspapers. Look at our signboards. Look at our women. Look at our men. Look at our churches. Why, it's rotten to the core. That's exactly right. And then we call that Christian? Don't you trust in those things, people. I love you. I'm not trying to pop off or say something that's wrong. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, if you believe these other things and seen them come to pass, you believe this. It's later than you think. God bless you. I better turn it back over to you, the chairman here, Brother Sunmore, some of them here. Now, Brother Branham just let something off right there. He let off some pressure. Because the people had been rejecting him, He was running out of doors to preach in. People didn't want it anymore. And yet God was proving himself so mightily in that ministry. Oftentimes when I'm listening to the tape, and coming from a Baptist background, it was kind of tough for me. I'll be honest with y'all. It was kind of tough coming to the message because we were so used to the preacher holding his ear and singing a little bit with his sermon. You know, and that really got us motivated. You know, that we looked for that. It was a real good show, and you start putting on a tape from Brother Branham. It was just preaching, right? And then at the end, I mean, the singing is not the same singing that we hear in the Baptist church. You know, and like, man, this is a little different for me. I got to listen more and more in order to get, you know, adapted to this. But you know what? Every time you listen to a tape, Brother Branham could come with the simplest of message. It was never anything to tickle people's ears. But at the end of that tape, when he called that prayer line, the angel of the Lord was always there. Tape after tape after tape, the angel of the Lord shows up, city after city, calling people's names, telling them what the conditions is. And it was never wrong, church. Now, look, I'm sorry. They can keep the humming, they can keep the good singing choirs, they can keep all of that, but I'm going to stay with this word. I'm going to take this word. And you know, you come to find out later on that, like I told y'all last week, we had a good singing, good musician, but that musician was drunk every week. Every week. They played, but was drinking and smoking and everything else. And God knows we don't need that in the church. We need examples set before the people. Real true examples. I mean, it's a shame. Nothing challenged the people. And some of the biggest churches you can even look at it now. Brother Branham was calling things out, and he's like, You got the pastor and the deacon taking a break in between the services and not standing out on the front porch smoking. Hey, what kind of church is that? And, you know, nowadays, Lord, it's a shame. It's a shame what people have to go through, and they don't mind giving any money to it, but it's a shame. It's because they're rejecting this word. Let's just read here in Revelation 3. Let's read this about Jesus, and then after that I want to go the second. I got the church age book, the Smyrnian church age. I'll pull that up next. But Revelation 3, let's just read this. This is speaking of the church today, the condition of the church today. Verse 14, Revelation 3, it says this. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. See, and with this, you can't be in between. You can't be on the fence. Either you got to go all the way with it, or you just got to leave it alone. So you can't be cold or hot. Not with this gospel. See, I mean, and God just hate people that's halfway. That's just right, and just won't go all the way with this, right? I mean, you know, you got some people that even when it comes to this message, they'll take the miracles part, but they don't want to take the word, right? Now you can't. And I just love the way God did that. He didn't do no miracles until after the word was preached, because most people would have just come for the miracles, and they would have been happy with the fish and loaves. You know how many? You know, everybody wanted to be with Jesus while he was serving fish and bread. Wait a minute, we ain't even have no food. Jesus just prayed over it and blessed it, and 5,000 people ate. That's not counting the women, the 5,000 men, right? That didn't count the women and the children, see? So we don't know how many people really ate that day, but people love to serve God long they're getting blessings like that, right? Oh yeah, I'm coming to the meeting because of my condition, I need God to move. But they don't want to take the word after that. See, there's a voice with that sign. There's a voice with that sign. You got to take the voice too. Not just the sign, but you got to have the voice as well. Amen. Look at this. This is the church today. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, now God didn't say it, but the church is saying it, I am rich and increase with goods. Every year I get more and more in the offering. Have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? And that's a sad condition. A person can be in that condition and not realize it. That's sad. Verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20, the saddest scripture you'll ever read in the Bible. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus standing on the outside of his church knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, you notice he's standing on the outside of the church knocking, but only individuals can open the door to allow him back in. And he's not fellowshipping with the entire church. He's only fellowshipping with that one individual. Amen. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I just love that, that's written in the scripture. Because in that passage that we just read, there's actually a false church and a true church, and both of them being spoke to at the same time. But you have to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the true church, because the true church will overcome that. But the false church will keep going right on. You can't tell them nothing. They rich and have need of nothing. But the true church say, now I hear Jesus knocking, I'm opening the door and I'm letting him in. into my heart. Let's go on to this next quote here in Smyrnian Church Age, out of the Church Age book we just read initially from the original message when Brother Branham preached the seven church ages. But this is from the Church Age book as it was edited. He goes on to say this, now, when I say this was an organized Antichrist church, I am giving you the truth from authenticated history. The first church founded in Rome, we would trace its history in the Pergamian age, had already turned the truth of God into a lie by introducing a pagan religion with Christianity, with Christian names and meaning. By the second age, it was so pagan, though claiming to be the true church. I'll tell you this. If you get into some certain atmosphere, certain churches, you can almost feel demonic presences in the church. Demonic presences because of the paganism that's going on inside that church. Right? And they all doing it all in the name of Jesus. Look, Jesus ain't in everything. Right? I know people try to put him in everything, but he is not in everything. Right? Amen. So by the second age, it was so pagan, though claiming to be the true church, that Polycarp came about 1,500 miles at a very old age to plead with them to turn back. I'll tell you another thing that churches let down on. Now, I was younger, we never had nobody dancing in the church. Not the dancing that they're doing nowadays. It was the only dancing that we saw was somebody, back in those days, they say catch the Holy Ghost. If somebody caught the Holy Ghost, you might see them cut a step, and it was real. You know, I mean, and I can almost guarantee you, if you would start shouting like that at a club, they'd kick you out the club. Like, no, you're too holy. Get on out of here, right? So you knew that dance was right. But what we got nowadays, we've let down the bar. Well, you know, we got to reach the hip-hoppers. No, not on their level. What we want to do is reach the hip-hoppers, pull them up to our level, right? That's what we really want to do, because they don't need to keep doing. Don't keep doing what you was doing. You need to change what you was doing if you're going to be a Christian, right? So, you know, but we want to reach them, so we're going to bring in the hip-hop music, and then we're going to dance. And I'm going to tell you, when they started the praise dancing, it started out so innocent. In a few years' time, praise dancing went from praise dancing to absolute juking. It's the truth, anyhow. I mean, everybody used. If you go back and look at something, they're supposed to be dressed real holy, no nothing tight. Just very loose, and they tried to present it that way, but all of a sudden it went from that to just juking, right? I mean, they dance outfits on nowadays, and my God, I'm sorry. Why do you got to put all this paint all over your face? And what is all that about? Why you got to? Where is that even in the scripture? That you not mimes. What is this, right? Where we get all these things from? And I can tell you, a lot of churches are probably no. We're not going to. Just like Israel wanted the king, we want some praise dancers. We want this. And they just start working on the leader. Next thing you know, they got it inside. Well, you know, they left because they couldn't have praise dances. They're going to have to leave. That's just what it is. They're going to have to leave. We're not doing that. We're not going to do that. I don't see nowhere in the scripture where they had organized dancing. Well, David danced not in an organized way. David danced so bad. It was so bad, the way that David danced, that his wife got upset with the way he was dancing. His wife was upset with him and say, I can't believe you being a king. You just embarrassed me dancing like that. But God also, God judged her for those comments. And she never had a child. Now, let's correct this. You'll find in scripture that she did have children from another man, but she never had a child from David, because a child from David might have given that person the ability to take over the kingdom. But she never had a child from David. Man, stay with the word. You anybody see dancing? I mean, I'm talking about the dancing that they do nowadays. Can you find that in the book of Acts? Because that's where the church got started. in the book of Acts. Day of Pentecost, I guarantee you, nobody was out there doing any of that. They was asking, what can we do to get saved? What can we do to be changed? That's what we want in the church. Amen. Don't let down the bars. Don't change it because, I'm telling you, we get a lot of people. Who, oh, they dancing over there now. I knew he'd see the light. Nuh-uh. That's a false light. That's a false light. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you some other things that churches let down on. Women preachers. That was a no-no. It was, I'm talking about all denominations saw it as wrong. Every denomination saw it as wrong. One denomination let down the bars. Next one let down the bars. Then another one let down the bars. And before you know it, nobody's standing on that anymore. It's, amen. It's the truth anyhow. Right? And they'll threaten to leave if you don't put it in your church. That's many pastors have I don't want to say failed to the congregation, but they submitted to their congregation because of these things. Many pastors. Amen. Church, that's why I say this is not something that was just a Bible story. This is reality. It's still happening right now, even today. And if the church don't know any better, the church will put pressure on the pastor to do things that are against the word of God. You got to know why you go to what church you're going to. You have to know that. Right? Some people will go to church because of the praise day. Yeah, now, and I'll tell you, back in my day, you know, people went to church just because they had a good choir. It didn't matter about the pastor. It didn't matter if he couldn't preach or could preach. Or it didn't matter. Do they have a good choir? Or good organist, good piano player. That was their primary, a good singer. That was their primary reason for going to church. And you go to church and the choir would have 4 or 5 songs. Pastor, you got 15 minutes to get your thought out. You can't get it out in 15 minutes, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, that's the way it was. And nowadays, people go to church because they got good dancing. Right? What about the word? I go because when they preach that word, it first brings some conviction to my heart so I can make some things right in my life. I mean, church is a place, it's a checkup. Right? I mean, you go to the doctor for a checkup. Make sure everything all right. Come to church for a spiritual checkup. Amen. Something ain't right, then I want to make sure I get it right. Amen. See? But this is, you got to know why we come here. Thank God that, you know, God can deal with my heart. I appreciate that. Amen. All right. Listen. By the second age, it was so pagan. Claiming to be the true church that Polycarp came about 1,500 miles at a very old age to plead with them to turn back. They would not do it. They had a solid hierarchy and a solid organization and a complete departure from the word. This then is Satan's synagogue, full of blasphemy, and which were already the seeds of the doctrine of Nicolaitanism, and which would shortly be the actual seat of power, satanic religion. And this is exactly right for Revelation 2:9b, does not say these people are of Satan's synagogue, but it says they are Satan's synagogue. This spirit of Antichrist is not new. This is not something that just came in the church ages. It has been here all along. To get a clear understanding of how it works, how it goes against God and takes over in the church, look at the Old Testament and see it there. Let us examine this spirit as it was manifested in Israel as she came out of Egypt to be the church in the wilderness. Just as early church started out under the pure ministry of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and manifestations such as prophecy, tongues and interpretation, wisdom, knowledge and healing. So in the days of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were under the leadership of the Spirit of God, manifesting in gifts. God was the leader of the people. Actually, he was their king. He was a father king. He took care of Israel like a man cares for his family. He fed them. I like this. Fought their battles, smoothed away their difficulties, and settled their problems. He just busied himself over them. Wouldn't you like to have God just busy himself over you? I mean, fight your battles, feed you, fight your battles, smooth away all your difficulties, settle all your problems. I mean, just busy yourself over me. If we stay with this word, he will busy himself over us. They were the only nation to which he was truly God. But one day they got to looking around and they saw the Philistines and other nations with kings over them. It caught their eyes and they decided that they ought to humanize their leadership. Now I'm going to tell you, in my day, early in my years, you used to be able to tell who was Catholic. As far as the Catholic priest was concerned, you used to be able to tell, because only the Catholics walked around with these collars. Only the Catholics. Baptists and Pentecostals, that was Catholic, right? Nowadays, everybody got themselves a collar on, and you can't. Are you Catholic? No, I'm Baptist. Well, what, you know, what doesn't happen here? We've all tried to be like the other ones. Rather than trying to be like Christ, we tried to be like the other ones. We want our leaders want to look very important, like the other leaders. So they had to go around and put this collar on their neck. Now I got a collar. That means I'm a preacher. But now you see a collar, and I drop that chain in my pocket. I'm a bishop. See, all of this means something, right? And you better make sure you call them by their name. And your name is Evangelist So and So. Okay, and your name is Bishop So and So, and your name Pastor So and So. Right? They you got to hear the title before you hear the name, right? Well, and your name is, I'm just Brother Jack. Just call me Brother Jack. That's all. And actually, if you want to call me the way they did in the Bible days, they said Paul and Peter and John. They didn't even use the word brother. They just call them by their first name. So just call, if you want to call me Jack, you can call me Jack. Okay. Well, I'm Right Reverend Dr. First. I mean, all of that is absolute nonsense. And what happens is that people come into the church and that's all they're looking for is another title. Right? Another title. They're just not satisfied with the name that was given to them at birth. They got to be something more than that. And everybody strives for them titles. It's just more. My God, my God, my God. It's a shame before God. But, you know, and each denomination do this over and over again because they're trying to follow somebody else. You know, and I don't know. I guess the Pope is probably safe because that title only go to one person. Right? I mean, he might be safe until some of the other denominations probably come up with one, you know. Right? Help us, Lord. Let's keep going. He just busied himself over them. They were the only nation to which he was truly God, but one day they got to looking around and they saw the Philistines and other nations with kings over them. It caught their eyes and they decided that they ought to humanize their leadership, so they wanted a king. Now, God was going to humanize the leadership himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned that last week. Eventually, they would have got a king. It would have been King Jesus, right? He was going to humanize the leadership of himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they got ahead of him. Satan knew the plan of God, so he put in the hearts of the people to get ahead of God, the word. When they approached Samuel and asked for a king, Samuel was so dismayed that his heart almost failed him. God had been leading his people through this consecrated, scripture-vindicated prophet, and he felt that he had been rejected. He gathered the people and pleaded with them not to turn away from the God who had carried them like children and prospered them and blessed them. But they persisted. They said to Samuel, "You have never been wrong in your leading. You have never been dishonest in your financial dealings. You have done your best to keep us in line with the word of the Lord. We appreciate the miracles, wisdom, provision, and protection of God. We believe in it. We like it. And furthermore, we don't want to be without it. It's just that we want a king to lead us to battle. And of course, when we go out to battle, it is still our intention to have the priest go ahead with Judah following. And we will blow the trumpets and shout and sing. We don't intend to stop any of that. But we want a king who is one of us to lead us. And God said to Samuel, see, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from ruling over them. Now, I'm going to go on in that quote, but that part there where he said, you've never been wrong in your leading. You've never been dishonest in your financial dealings. You've done the best to keep us in line with the word of the Lord. We appreciate the miracles, wisdom, provision, and protection of God. Now, that's really talking about Brother Branham's ministry. See, there were so many things that they could go to Brother Branham for. I'm talking about a prophet, y'all. Let me see how much. I got a lot more to read there. Y'all just bear with me here tonight. A prophet, God shows them things that other people just can't see. See, and there was one time where Brother Branham's even telling his brothers about oil. He said, look, God showed me that there's some oil over here in this area. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is, but you're going to have to work a little bit for this. But y'all just start digging right over there. And God showed me there's some oil over there. Just start digging right over there. So his brothers said, oh, boy, when we get that oil, we're going to donate this to the work of the Lord. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. They were steadily trying to get that oil. Finally, as the days went by, they didn't find the oil. Their testimony started changing. Well, if we get the oil, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do this for me and my family. They begin to get a little selfish, right? And God say, because of their selfishness, he say, I'm not going to let them get it. Them brothers got within 100 yards of where the oil was. Another company come right in. After they've been doing all this digging, another company come right in, dug one time, hit the main stream where the oil was, and was making billions of dollars. But they had the wrong attitude. God showed the prophet where it was. Now, if they would have had the right attitude, they would have tapped right in and been billionaires. Billionaires, right? But, I mean, there's many things that people could go to the prophet and get, whether it was prayer for a loved one. One brother, his son had passed away, I think, in a car accident or something. And Brother Branham prayed. They said, Brother Branham, we know God used your ministry to pray for the sick, and God raised people from the dead. We just want you to pray. And here he goes to pray, and he's like, okay, I'll pray. As he's praying, the Lord allowed Brother Branham to get into a channel where he was able to contact that boy's spirit. And the boy had already passed on, but he saw the boy on the other side. He said, where I see him, there's a great light. Saying, if I was you, I'd leave him where he is. Give the parents peace like that. I'm talking about a prophet, y'all. You know, I mean, and not only in the natural things in life where God used them, but when it came to the word, this man was giving us the truth. Giving us the truth. We can't turn that down and go back to denomination. And that's exactly what the church was doing, rejecting God's prophet and turning to go back to the things from which they came out of. God, don't let that be our testimony this hour. Look at this. He says how tragic that was. Little did they realize that when they were asking God to let them be like the rest of the world, they were rejecting him because God had ordained that his people act different from the world. They're not of the world, and they don't look like the world, and they don't act like the world. They are crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto them. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, the one difference between Israel and the rest of the nations was God. Put God to one side, and Israel was like any other nation. When Samson cut off his hair, he was like any other man. Put the leadership of the Holy Ghost aside, and the church is nothing but the world with God's name attached to it. Again, if we put the leadership of the Holy Ghost aside, the church is nothing but the world with God's name attached to it. The world and the church are all of the same lump, just like Jacob and Esau were of the same parents, but the Spirit of God makes the difference. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian. Anyone can do that. The point is whether or not you have the Spirit of God in you. But without that Spirit, you are a reprobate. You are none of His. Amen. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And Brother Branham referred to a scripture, Matthew 27, where they decided that they would take Barabbas rather than Christ. And when they did that, they rejected Christ. The church of that day rejected Christ, just like in Samuel's day, the church rejected Christ. And here, even in our day, the church is still rejecting Christ. I encourage you, let's accept him. Let's embrace Christ and everything he has for us. Let's not turn and go the way that everybody else is going, but let's stay with what God's word is saying. Amen. Let's stay true to it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that we can look at the word and see, Lord, how it applies even to our day. This is real. There are so many, God, that have forsaken the truth, that are turning and going back into things that you called us out of. Lord, we look at Israel here. You were busy over them. You fed them. You healed them. You fought their battles. You did everything that they could ask you to do. You did that and more. So many great miracles that we read in the history of the world, things that you did in the midst of the children of Israel, things that the carnal mind just can't even comprehend or understand. How could that happen? Only God could do it. But yet they would turn and forsake that. And Lord, we see even in our day, we had a prophet come on the scene, and the things that were done in his ministry that only God could do. A man could not do those things. Only God. Even the revelations that were revealed, only God could bring that to us. We had never heard any of these things in all of our lives. But God, to come to a spot and to look at the prosperity of some of the other churches and to begin to desire that, Lord, we find ourselves just like Israel. And God, we don't want to be that way. Thank you that your word can bring us correction. Thank you that your word can bring conviction, that your spirit, God, can deal with our hearts, and that, Lord, we can be quick to listen and adhere to it. We're happy about that, God. And we pray, God, that you would bless our faithfulness, that you would bless, Lord, our dedication, and, Lord, our consistency just to remain true and faithful to what your word is saying. We ask it in the name of Jesus.